The one you just heard is the first four verses of the first John. John the Apostle wrote three letters besides the Gospel according to John, of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And this letter, first John, is the first letter. And of course, he began his letter with, his experience with the Word of Life, that is Christ. And I'll come back to that later on. Have you ever written references for someone else? I have written some over the years for people, adults and youth alike. If you look at any reference letter or form, typically they have some common questions, such as, how long have you known the applicant? Or, how well do you know the applicant? List strength as well as weaknesses of the person, and so on. Now imagine that you are filling out a reference letter for Jesus. One question you must answer is this: how well do you know him? I'm afraid that most of us, myself included, would struggle with that question because we know him so little, despite our head knowledge about him. I don't think I have to make the distinction between knowing of Christ and knowing about Christ, right? So, I think that's the reality of today's believers. We have little or even no knowledge of Jesus. I think that's why I designate 2015 as the year of knowing Jesus. We must know our Savior and Lord on a personal level. Why? Because if we don't, we will be denied at heaven's gate even after years of being a Christian. Let me say it again. We can be denied at heaven's gate even after years of being a Christian if we do not know him personally. Here's why. You and I could be very, very religious without knowing Jesus at all. Here's an example. If you remember Jesus' time, the Jewish religious leaders, they call Pharisees and Sadducees, right? Who persecuted Jesus, and they even crucified him in the name of God. Did they claim that they were believers in God? Definitely. Did they read the Bible? Of course. Did they pray? Oh, are we kidding? They did everything possible you could imagine. Yet, they did not know Jesus at all. In today's terms, we can serve on church committees for years, folks, without doing what Jesus really wants us to do. Here's an example. Let's say, Mr. A, not particularly, just if you have A last name, I'm not referring to you. Mr. A served on the various committees for 20 years, okay, chair of trustees, whatever, okay? Yet if you hear that person saying, Mr. A saying it, I will never forgive so-and-so because he has done a terrible thing to me. I will never ever forgive that person. You know what? The person doesn't know Jesus. You say, how could you say that, Pastor Choi? Because the Bible says, if you do not know me, you don't keep my word. Or if you don't keep my commandments, you don't really know me. That's what I'm saying. The life without the true knowledge of Christ is a life without substance. Let's say someone gives you a gift, present, and a nice gift outside. When you open the box, nothing in there but the air. You say, what is this? Something like that. Life as a Christian without the true knowledge of Christ is like that. life without substance. Or consider this, a fruit tree, let's say apple tree, the season of the harvest came and you expect the tree to bear the fruit, but you don't see any apples. That's the life as a Christian without the knowledge of Jesus. So folks, I urge everyone this year to get to know Jesus on a personal level and to walk with Him daily. Now let's go back to the question. How well do you know Jesus personally? You know, before I ask this question for you, I always ask myself the same question. How well do I know Jesus? You know, we all wish to say that we know Him quite well, like John the Apostle did. If you ask John, John the Apostle, how would you say to this question, how well do you know Jesus? In a heartbeat, John would answer my question, I know Him very well. Now listen to what he said and what he wrote in today's reading. In verse 1 he says, we have seen and heard and even touched Jesus with our hands. Think of it for a while. We have seen Him, we heard Him, and we even touched Jesus with our hands. Did you know that the same disciple, he was so close to Jesus that he even laid his head in the bosom of Christ? That close he was. Speaking of first-hand experiences, you cannot beat that. By the way, did you know that God wants every one of us, you and me, to experience and know Jesus in the same ways that John the Apostle did? I also let you know the word to know here in Hebrew term, okay, means to know someone intimately and very closely. For instance, the verb to know is used between husband and wife when they become one through marriage, both physically and spiritually. Here's an example. If you read the Christmas story, if you remember Christmas story, one of the stories is Joseph and Mary. Who was Joseph? Mary's husband. He was a righteous man, the Bible says, and he found out that his fiancée, Mary, was pregnant. So as being a righteous man, he wanted to let go of her quietly, meaning not putting her to public disgrace. In those days, if you're found pregnant before marriage, guess what? You were stoned to death. So he didn't want her to go through that, so he wanted to just let her go silently. Until God sent an angel to Joseph and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Her pregnancy is not caused by a man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph, obeying God, he took her as his wife, but the end of the story, he did not know her until the baby was born. Pay attention to the verb to know. He did not know. What do you think it means? It's a union. Physical union here, sexual relationship. Okay? That's the meaning of the word to know. Okay? The same verb used to know Jesus. Okay? Now, I've been a Christ follower for over 40 years myself. I know that Jesus is real to begin with, and I have experienced Him a few times undeniably and miraculously. I have a few stories. And furthermore, I've been a minister of the gospel for 25 years, folks, and I preached and taught about Jesus almost every single Sunday for 25 years. However, when it comes down to a real personal knowledge of Jesus, I found myself far short of where I should have been. In other words, despite my head knowledge of Jesus, my heart knowledge and filled knowledge of Christ, if you will, is far short of what it should have been. However, the Lord has been very patient with me and very gracious to me, so that he constantly teaches me one thing after another. And in fact, he recently taught me two lessons so that I would get to know him closer and better. And take my prayer life, for example. My prayers have been mostly one-way conversation, one-way communication, all these 40 years, if you know what I mean. One-way communication. It's been more or less presenting a shopping list to Christ. This is typically what I say in my prayer. Lord, this is what I need. Remember this, remember that. Oh, I forgot this, remember this again. And please take care of them. And I say, in the name of Christ, I pray. And that has been my prayer pattern. In other words, I realized that I seldom took time to listen to Him. In fact, I've never been trained in listening to Him in silence in prayer. By the way, I let you know, silence is not my cup of tea. Living in America, we're so used to some level of noise. Either music going on all the time, or TV, or people's voices. That when the surroundings are so quiet, we don't know what to do. Each Sunday we pray, right? After that we have a silence, and I'm nervous, begin to nervous. Oh, it's been only 10 seconds, and I feel like I need to move on. So we don't know what to do with the silence. I think that same thing goes with my prayer life. Typically, I get right on my agenda. I speak to Jesus what I need without wasting time, and then I'm done with my prayer. And last month, I was just praying like that about the goal for 2015 for the congregation, that is to know Jesus. And at the end of my prayer, somehow I felt the Lord reminding me of this. Gayun Choi, do you want to teach my people to know me? I said, yes, Lord, I will. And he said, you learn first, then teach. I said, yes, what should I learn from you? And the Lord said, learn to listen to me. Train yourself to listen to me in prayer. Do not sign off right away after your list is done. Sit quietly and listen to me. That was the first lesson he gave me. Since then, I've been practicing this. Folks, it's not easy. As I said, I'm not used to silence. I feel like, have you ever tried quiet down your soul? Within 10 seconds, this is the science. They say, discovery, that average person in America cannot focus on one thing more than 10 seconds in silence. You try it. Your mind goes off. Even during the sermon, guess what? Your mind is somewhere going around. And by the time sermon is done, you're coming back. Okay? So it's not an easy thing. But that's what God says, Jesus says, you learn first to listen to me. Here's the second lesson I learned. Keep the appointments with me, Jesus said. I realized that Jesus also gets disappointed when I fail to keep the appointment with him on time. And that just happened last week. In fact, this kind of thing must have happened many a time in the past, I must confess. But this time it came so real to me that I got ashamed of what I had done that night. And you see, I pray for about an hour every day, every night to be exact, before I go to bed. That's my prayer. And that night, before my appointed time, I start the prayer at a certain time, right? Let's say 11 o'clock at night. Before I do that, I have some free time. So what I was doing, and I was playing solitaire on my computer. How many of you are playing solitaire on the computer? Okay. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. And you know how addicting it can be at times. That night I was stuck with one particular game, and I was determined to solve it. Okay? But the thing is, I played beyond my appointed time with Jesus. I was fully aware of that. I saw the clock and passing 11. So what do you do? I should have stopped everything, dropped everything and just start praying. But you know, instead of that, I said to the Lord, sorry Lord, but can I finish this game? And then I'll pray. Well, I finished the game all right, but missed the appointment with God by 10 minutes. So when I started my prayer around 11:10, I was deeply ashamed of what I had done. I was convicted that I would not have done the same thing to someone, physical person, who expects to see me at 11. I would never dream of it, but I did to my Lord. Furthermore, if I were on the other end, let's say, you know, on Jesus' end, and someone like Ye-Yun Choi is late for the appointment because he's having so much fun with his gameplay, I would be very upset with the way he treated me. But that's exactly what I did that night to my Lord and Savior. As I said before, this kind of thing must have happened many times in the past for various reasons, not just for solitaire. But that night I was deeply convicted of my folly, and I sincerely repented to the Lord. The lesson is very simple. Treat Jesus as a real person who gets disappointed if I don't keep the commandments, the appointments. In fact, much more than that, treat Jesus as Lord as you confess. That's the lesson. Mean what you say. He is my King and God. Such a Jesus have I silenced with my lusts and pleasure multiple times in the past. And such a Jesus have I neglected daily through my ignorance of his presence. You know, we remember, oh, the Lord is with us during the worship time and prayer time and whatnot. But you know, many other times during the day, we don't think of him at all, do we? Imagine that I invited my friend to dinner. My honored guest has arrived on time. I motioned him to come and sit in the living room while I finished one game on the computer that I started 10 minutes before his arrival. In the meantime, my friend is patiently waiting in the living room. Finally, I'm done with the game and I apologize profusely. Sorry, you know. And I invite him to sit at the dinner table with me, but I never give him a chance to talk. I keep talking straight for the next 30 minutes while we're eating. And when we're done with the talk, I get up and leave the table and go to the kitchen, start doing the dishes without one single conversation with my guest. And then I just remembered what I needed from my guest. So I bring him the list. Oh, I forgot this one. Would you take care of this? And put it in his hand. And then I go back to my chores. In the entire visit that night, the guest is not able to talk to me even one single word. That's the way I have been treating Jesus, my Lord and Savior. You know that, and I know that. It should be much better than that. Yesterday I finished reading one book called Gazing into Glory, written by Mr. Bruce Allen, wonderful man of God. And he had just numerous encounters with God and Jesus, you know, face to face, and he was taken up to heaven more than once, and he's a wonderful man of God. In his book, he wrote as follows in terms of his experience of God and Jesus particularly. I quote, "I've been blessed over the years to have face-to-face encounters with Jesus, as he has revealed himself in many facets of his character. I've met Jesus the healer as he came and poured a healing balm over me at a very difficult point in my life. I've met Jesus the comforter who comforted me and held me through my tribulation. I've spent many hours with Jesus, my best friend. And this night," he continues, "however, I discovered a new facet of his character. This night I met Jesus, the King of Glory, Jesus, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah." End of the quote. Here Mr. Allen emphasizes that experiencing Jesus in a wonderful way is a must, not an option. It is for all God's children too, not just for himself alone. I 100% agree with him. Experiencing Jesus in a supernatural way, it is for all of us, and God shows no favoritism. John the Apostle experienced Jesus very personally. So did Paul the Apostle, and so did Bruce Allen. So shall we, because we too belong to Jesus. So folks, this year, let us get to know Jesus personally, not just with our heads, but also with our hearts, not just in words, but down to earth level. Let us treat our Lord and Savior Jesus as he is, worthy of our honor and respect, not just with our lips, but in our deeds. And let's not be satisfied and content with the intellectual understanding of Jesus alone, but let's be passionate about knowing him closely. That's my goal, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same. You see, some of us know Jesus as someone who stays up in heaven, aloof from our daily struggles. And he's far much more than that. And others worship Jesus on Sunday morning for 1 hour only, and for the rest of the week have no communications going on with him at all. He deserves far more attention from us than 1 hour, don't you think, a week? Our interest in Jesus stops with our shopping list and prayer most of the time, but don't you think he deserves far more than our prayer list? Because he is our Lord and Savior. So throughout this year, we will focus on Jesus to get to know him in person. We will look at who? Jesus. Can you answer that? We will listen to who?
Jesus.
We will talk to who? We will ask for whose wisdom?
Jesus.
We will walk with who?
Jesus.
We will touch who?
Jesus.
We will experience who?
Jesus.
Yes. All in personal level. Day in, day out. So that by the end of the year, folks, all of us would be able to say, I have known Jesus in the ways that I have never known him before. I have grown so much this year in his knowledge. And that would be our testimonies. I'm looking forward to this day and this year, folks. Get to know him personally. I'm ready. I hope you are ready. Okay? May the Lord bless our endeavor this year. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, as soon as I thought about the goal for this year, for the congregation, you already start teaching me. Do you really want to know me? Then jot down already a couple of things you taught me in person. Learn to listen to me in silence and keep the appointment with me. Lord, thank you so much. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm starting anew my Christian journey with you, discovering you more and more. And I pray that every single one of us, this congregation, would just take the step of faith. Lord, my Christian life so far has been kind of boring. And it doesn't have anything to do with my age. Moses started journey with God at the age of 80. He continued until 120 years old. None of us is too old for that. So Lord, help us to know you more in person and experience in the way that we've never done before, that believing in Christ is knowing Christ, and knowing Christ is one of the greatest thing ever that happened to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.